Now, another group of marine animals that are traded around the world are seahorses. And Helen, I think they're critters that are quite close to your heart, aren't they?
Yeah, you got me. Absolutely. I do love seahorses. They are wonderful, wonderful things. But every year, millions of dead seahorses are traded as traditional Chinese medicines. They're thought to be a remedy for all sorts of conditions, from broken bones and asthma to kidney complaints and even a flagging libido. And conservationists are worried that this is putting far too much pressure on some wild populations. There's also a roaring trade in live seahorses for public aquariums and for people who want to keep them at home as pets. So I paid a visit to Moat Marine Laboratory in Sarasota in Florida to find out how breeding seahorses in captivity is offering a way of cutting down the number we take from the wild every year. Here's supervisor of Moat's Seahorse Conservation Lab, Sean Garner.
This is a laboratory that's on exhibit to a public aquarium. 300.
In fact, we can see people walking by now. They're peering in through the window.
I'm waving, yes. So education is key. We want to show children and adults seahorses because it is the coolest animal in the world.
I'm glad you agree with me on that.
There's no other animal that looks, has a head like a horse, eyes like a chameleon, pouch like a kangaroo, tail like a monkey, and it's a fish that has the only true male bird. That is the coolest. But the really main thing about this laboratory is breeding seahorses, learning how to do it, and sharing that information with other facilities so that they can breed seahorses. But we're breeding them for other zoos and aquariums around the country so that they don't have to collect from the wild.
That's great. And so how long will you keep seahorses here before you send them off to other aquariums?
We wait for about 6 months. 8 months is ideal when we ship, and we ship all around the country and hopefully around the world sooner or later.
How do you send a seahorse? You send them by plane, I take it?
Yeah, actually we use FedEx, but we put it in a bag of water, one-third really clean water, two-thirds pure oxygen. I put 3 to 4 seahorses in a bag, and I give them a toy. Because like anyone that has driven around with kids in the back, they hit each other, they mess with each other, and I don't want that stress. So I give each seahorse a toy to hitch onto, and it's kind of like their protection. And then they're triple bagged, put it in a styrofoam shipping container, and then there's a heat pack or cool pack, and we ship them overnight. We've shipped 1,000 or more seahorses and maybe had one problem, but it's been really good, and the horses arrived there perfect. What we're looking at are the brood stock, and the brood stock means that they're animals just for breeding. They're here, they're my best seahorses right now.
They're the studs.
They're the studs and the queens, I guess. They have good genetics. They're usually wild caught. Now, I'm legally allowed to take a few wild caught seahorses from the environment. So really, all they're here doing is breeding and eating. And it happens in the morning. They go up in the water column. They either do their mating dance or they transfer eggs. And then they kind of leave each other alone the rest of the day.
And how often will they actually have babies?
The male will get pregnant, of course. His gestation's about 25 days. He will release the babies. And pretty much the next day or 2 days after, he's pregnant again. And this happens pretty much his entire life, from 6 months all on up to about 4 years. And he is pregnant most of his life. Now, he gets pregnant so much, he can actually fake being pregnant.
This is news to me.
Yeah, he can actually inflate his pouch with water and tell his girlfriend or his wife, I'm pregnant already, I can't accept your eggs this month. And she will actually dump her eggs on the ground, which is terrible because it takes 40% more energy to create the eggs than to gestate them.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, yeah. So we have this. These are the moms and dads, basically.
Yep.
And then the babies come. And then these are the guys over here. These are some of the newborns in this tank. Well, we haven't got any tiny ones right now, but
yeah,
these ones here.
Yeah, we didn't have seahorse babies last week, but we had some 2 weeks ago, and we're looking at them right now. It's a brood of probably 100. We're looking at Hippocampus erectus, the line seahorse. Yeah, and so what they're doing is they're circulating around the tank. They're in a specially designed tank called a chrysal or gyro. And it's a tank designed for animals that are planktonic, that are floating in the ocean, or we like to tell the kids planktonic means go with the flow. So they're circulating, and they're eating the smallest food that we have, and we actually grow plankton here, and they're eating it, and they're swimming, and that's all they're doing right now.
And in this tank here, there is some equally as tiny animals, but they're a bit older, aren't they?
Yeah, these are Hippocampus zostera, or the pygmy seahorse. And a very small animal, 1 inch is pretty much max. They only have 10 to 20 babies at a time, but they have one of the largest babies out of any other seahorse. And they're pretty smart. They actually are smart enough when we try to take them out of their parent tank, they can run away from the net. They know a net is danger. They're very smart animals. I love these guys. They're so cute.
They are amazingly cute. And they're so tiny, I can hardly see them. It's awesome. Seahorses are pretty sensitive, aren't they, to their conditions in which they're living. Like the water has to be the right salinity, temperature, and so on. And they're kind of susceptible to getting diseases, too. That's the case, right?
Yeah, like any animal, they can get stressed out. Just like humans, you get stressed out. And when you get stressed out, you're more prone to getting a cold or the flu or what have you. So, yeah, seahorses are very prone to diseases and bacteria. So we try to provide the most calm environment for them. And we found out lately that sounds are huge in the seahorse world, that loud sounds, motor sounds, and vibrations from the world causes seahorses to become stressed out, which in turn gets them not to reproduce as much and not live as long. When we built this lab, we specially chose the pumps, all the lighting, all the filtration, so that, you know, everything is vibration-free. There's not a lot of metallic sounds in the water. And it's really, hopefully, proven to be a great thing. You know, a lot of zoos and aquariums have big tanks that have really strong pumps and concrete and vibrations. They have a lot of problems keeping seahorses alive. Well, we keep them alive and we breed them in the thousands. So I think the vibrations and the sounds are really important to seahorses' survival.
You've been operating on seahorses?
Not me, but we have a vet that actually did one of the first laser surgeries on a seahorse. We had one seahorse a year or two ago that grew a tumor on its tail. What we did is we grabbed the animal and we actually put it under anesthesia.
Oh my gosh, how did you do that?
We took it out of the water and put it on a tray and ran a tube into its mouth that pumped anesthetic water, and it went right past his gills and put him under. He was dry, but he was still breathing and he was knocked unconscious. And so the vet got the laser out, turned the setting to the lowest setting because he was so worried how frail a seahorse is, and tried to take the tumor off, didn't work. So he raised the level up a little bit more, no go. He had to raise the level up so high as the same as turtle shells, and then he was able to take the tumor off. And so we took that seahorse and put him back in his regular water. He woke up and he survived another year or two after that. It was amazing. It was so neat.
That is very cool. Seahorse hospital, here we are.
Yeah, we'll do anything to keep them alive. It's important.
Laser surgery for seahorses. That is pretty crazy stuff, I have to say. Well, we've certainly got a lot better at keeping these sensitive creatures in aquariums. And projects like this are doing a brilliant job of both educating people about seahorses and at the same time helping to reduce our impact on them in the wild. That was seahorse keeping guru Sean Garner at the Moat Marine Laboratory in Florida.